Amen.
All right, our reading will be taken from Colossians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 12. Please follow along because I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God, the Father, through him. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye, and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
God,
God
chose you.
Chose you.
Neighbor.
Neighbor.
God.
God
chose me.
Chose me.
Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, God chose me, you. The church is a place filled with people which ought to recognize how you got there. If it is not by accident that we are in church, it is not by accident that the Lord met us on our own Damascus road. All right. Knocked us off our high horse.
Well,
right.
Thank you, Lord.
Blinded us and had somebody come and pray with us. Mm-hmm. Causing the scales to fall from our eyes. Mm-hmm. And when we got up, we said, Lord, I will do what you're calling me to do. When we understand that God chose you, you recognize that I might not be all that I ought to be, but I'm striving to reach it. When I know that God chose me, then I understand that what I do in church is to glorify his holy name. When I recognize that God chose me, then I will not allow myself to get caught up in mess that just doesn't matter. When I recognize that God has chosen me, then I'm able to see you go through your hurts and your pain. And I make it my business to pray for you. When I know that God has chosen me, I will do the best that I can to help somebody else. When I know that God has chosen me, when I make the effort to come to Sunday school, Bible study, I know God's going to bless me. When I know that God has chosen me, it's because that when I got up this morning, I lost an hour of sleep. Could have stayed in the bed, Brother Moe. bed, because I know the one who blessed me to have a bed with a roof over my head. Clothes to go and put on in the closet. Hot water running in the shower. I have the ability of washing myself. Brushing my own teeth. Getting myself together. Able to drive to church and get here safely. Able to walk through the doors and say, I'm glad that they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So now that I'm in God's house, one more time, I ain't going to come here just to take up space, but I'm going to praise his holy name. Because he didn't have to let me be here one more time. So since I got that one more time, I'm going to praise him because he didn't have to give me that one more time. All this comes into play because I know that God chose me. But when we look at the church in Colossians, the Colossians, Paul wanted to let them understand something. What he wanted them to understand then, Carl, he still wants us to understand today. Right. We are God's chosen ones. Right. Even with all our mess, Brother Clark, God still chose us. Even when we used to be hellraisers, God chose us. Even when we look everywhere for help, put all kinds of stuff in our hands and put it in our bodies in some shape, form, or fashion, still God chose us. We have to realize something today, is that we are not perfect. We have been stained by sin. We have struggled. We've made mistakes. And in spite of all of that, God still chose us. So what Paul is saying to the church in Colossae, you are God's chosen ones. And he was telling them then and telling us now. He says to them, you are God, as God's chosen ones. You got to know something. There's two things you got to know. You are holy. And you are loved. God is the one who has set us aside for his work. And as he set us aside for his work, that's what the word holy means, is that you've been set aside. You've been pulled out of where you are and placed somewhere else so that God can have his way with you. Yes. And as God is having his way with you, the one thing you will never forget, God loves you. Be loved. Be loved means that God loves you. I don't care what somebody else says about how they hate you. You have to know that God, even if that dude tried to get over on you and told you you ain't worth 2 cents and you don't look like nothing, you can say whatever you want to say, but I know that God. You see, my brothers and my sisters, if you are looking to get self-worth from a person, they'll give it to you today. But make them mad, Shannon, and they'll take it back tomorrow. But God has set you aside, told you how much he loves you. If he said it yesterday, he'll say the same thing today, tomorrow, and forevermore. He will never change his mind about you. Somebody going to work with me this morning. What Paul is letting the church in Corinth know. He's letting them know. You got to get a new wardrobe. You see, what we have to understand is that if we are holy and beloved, we can't go out wearing the same stuff that we wore before we came to Jesus. Amen. Your wardrobe needs to change. Right. Somebody gonna work with me this morning? Amen. Because when you look at this scripture, he tells them that you are holy and beloved. He said, now that you know what you are, burn up those clothes you got. Because I need you to clothe yourself with this stuff here. He says, I want you to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and what? Patience. Sister Ruby, if I can mess with you for a minute. I just saw called your name, but I'm messing with all of us. Sister Ernestine, you remember how when you was going out to a family gathering, but it was one of those formal events where you had to look good. Brother Freeman, the brothers would look in the closet and get their best two-piece, three-piece, four-button, two-button, double breast. Make sure the shoes are shine. Sisters, make sure they done got their hair did, nails done. Everybody can go get a pedicure. Amen. That's all good. And when, sister girl, work with me. When you were getting dressed, you put on the nice silk stockings. That's why I had to get that pedicure first, because you didn't want none of them toenails to cut them. Come on, now work with me. Stay with me. We can lie for a second, but work with me. Make sure them toenails is right so when you put on the silk stockings, them expensive kind, and when you put them on and then you put on your dress, put on your shoes, looked at yourself in the mirror, and what did you say? I know I look good. There's just some folk you can look at when they put on their clothes. They feel good about what they got on because they know that they look good. So what Paul is saying to us, the reason why we got to change our wardrobe, because when we was wearing that wardrobe before Jesus, that stuff didn't make us feel good but for a moment. It didn't have any lasting power. It didn't allow me to be able to converse and relate to others because I was just so caught up in myself. You see, the clothing that the Lord wants us to put on now isn't just for ourselves, but it's to help somebody else. Because all the things that he mentions here in verse number 12 is dealing with this, y'all. Check this. How we relate to others. Sister Marilyn, can we have compassion for one another? Can I see you hurting and just turn my back on you and say, you got just what you deserve with your own mean, nasty self? Or can you still have compassion when you knew that they wronged you? Dog you, lied on you, talk about you. Can you have compassion for someone who ain't never got nothing good to say about you? You see, because if that's the wardrobe you're wearing, you understand that the Lord chose you to wear it because the Lord had compassion. compassion on me.
Thank you, Lord.
So no matter how you might have done me wrong, and when I think about all the wrong that I've done to the Lord, and he still had compassion for me, then I've got to have compassion for you. Kindness. Can I be kind to you? Can I still say good morning to you? Even when I know that somebody done told me, you done said whatever, can I still look you in the face, shake your hand, give you a hug and say, I'm glad you're in the house.
Amen.
Can I still be kind to you when it appears you've never made an effort to be kind to me? When I see that you're in need of food, can I still go on and cook a meal and drop it off at your house? Can I still be kind to you? You see, and then once I have clothed myself with compassion and kindness, then I got to have some humility.
All right.
Yes.
If I got to do it so everybody can see what I do, then I'm doing it for self and not for the Lord.
Right.
Humility means that I got to move myself out the way so that the Lord can get in the way. You see, when I let the Lord get in the way, then I know that the Lord's going to take care of everything going on around me. And when I clothe myself with the compassion and with the kindness and with the humility, then I can understand something. You know what I can understand, Reverend Rose? I got power. You see, meekness is power under control. Knowing that I am not going to use the power of God in my life for my own discretion and for my own benefit. I'm going to use it to help somebody else as the Lord is helping me along the way. You see, because when you understand the power that you have, you can speak and pray for somebody who is sick and the Lord will pick them back up again. That's called meekness under control. And I know how good God has been to me. And all that God has blessed me with, that I recognize that I've got power. Not because I'm all that, but because I serve a God who is, who's been there with me through thick and through thin. Initially, I didn't recognize the power God's given me. I had to learn it through going through some stuff in my life. And when I put my trust in the Lord, when I look back over from where I've come, Brother Deacon Ben, I realize it was the power of God that got me through it. And when I'm clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, and meekness, then I got to be patient. Brother Mosby, the reason why I got to be patient is because when the Lord was first knocking on my door, I ain't answered. Or if I answered it, I gave him all kind of excuses for why I couldn't do it. And then there were times I knew he was coming, I was going to go running. But the Lord still continued to be who he was. And he continued to walk me down. He was patient with me. And since he was patient with me, who am I to be impatient with?
Yes.
We always ask the Lord to be patient with us. But we ain't got but a half a second of patience to deal with. Oh, Reverend Rose. But we are clothed with all of these things. This is our new wardrobe.
Right.
But once I got the wardrobe on, there's something else the Lord wants me to understand. You see, because when I got on the right kind of wardrobe, I want you to know that wardrobe also should help change my attitude.
Yeah.
You see, because when I looked at Carl this morning coming up in here with his tux on, I know it ain't a tux, but had his white jacket on with his black bow tie and his black pants with his black and white shoes. Carl, when you looked at yourself in the morning, you knew you looked good. Am I lying to you or not? Because he came strutting into my office. And when he came in there, yeah, I know I look good. How you doing, Pastor? Our clothes and what we put on has an effect on our attitude. So now that the clothes help me, now this is how my attitude ought to be. Can we go take a look at it? Because look at verse number 13. We got to learn how to bear with who? If anyone. Before I go further, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Stay with us. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must. See, Reverend Rose, see now. Now, if I had to say it wrong, then they would have corrected me with the right word, right? But I'm going to try it one more time. It says, so you must. See, like I said, it's still a little tight. You see, I want us to understand we got issues wanting to forgive folk. Come on, now let's be real. I can tell them why y'all answered me. Some of y'all didn't answer because some folk done pucked your nerve. And if you say you got to forgive them, that means you got to make a change. And in order to make the change, I question, what kind of wardrobe do you got on? Now, I ain't doing a whole lot of hooping and hollering, but we got to deal with this. We as a church are moving forward. We are a church that's loving. But we still have to forgive. So can I try it one more time? So you also must. Oh, Lord, see, a little bit better. We're getting there, but what I want us to understand is this, my brothers and sisters. The Lord forgave you. He forgave me. Thank you, Lord. Because I want you to understand that there was some stuff that you and I have done that I want you to realize that the criminal justice system wouldn't have forgiven us for it. The way they would have forgave us cars, they would have locked us up. They had to throw away the key, Brother Clark. They had left us up in there 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years because of the fact they said, if you're bad enough to do the crime, then you got to be bad enough to do the... You see, but I want you to know, I thank God for Jesus because by Jesus coming, he became our advocate. He became our lawyer. When he stretched his arms wide on the cross, he's the one that took the sin of the world and said, Daddy, they're going to mess up. But Lord, God, my Father, don't hold it against them. Look at what I've done for them.
Amen.
You and I have been forgiven. And since we've been forgiven, we can forgive because we got the right wardrobe on. And because of the wardrobe we have on, it has now changed our attitude. And our attitude is such that we're able to be patient with one another. We're able to look at one another and say, yeah, I know that we got to bear one another. Which means is that we got to learn how to what? Work together. We got to learn how to what? Move forward. And how do we move forward? Together. And in order for us to do that, we got to learn how to forgive. Still leave that nasty taste in your mouth. Because I got to learn how to
forgive.
I'm going to get it out. Yes, give. Forgive. Can we just have real talk for about a minute? You know why we struggle with that? Because we've been wounded. Some of us had a few scratches. Some of us have been cut to the heart. Because some of us, you know what we do? We love hard. We give our all. We do what we can. If we could, some of us will flip over backwards for other folk. Not because we are, you know, but because it's just how we love. And that's the kind of love we want to see come back to us. And when that love doesn't come back to us that way or somebody tramples on it, then you know what we find ourselves doing? We start closing doors. We start backing up. And rather than ever trust folk, we become so distrusting of people. Because once I really opened up myself and I felt so vulnerable, I felt so much pain, so much hurt, so much disappointment that I found myself not wanting to feel that way again. And since I didn't want to feel that way again, I just shut everybody up. But every time it seemed like I put my foot out the door to try to do something nice, since the feet, somebody step on my toe. Woo. And when they step on my toe, it gives me more reason to say, that's why I keep my door closed. Wham! And I ain't going to forgive you. And nobody else ever come to me and say they sorry for what they done to me. And if they ain't tell me they sorry, Lord, why do I have to forgive them? They wronged me. So why do I have to forgive them? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
It's not about them. Can we go there for a minute? I wasn't planning on staying here, but Lord, I guess you got me here for a reason. You see, I want us to understand. We have closed ourselves off. And then whenever we open the door and our foot's gotten, I mean, our toe got stepped on. We put ourselves in a situation of saying, Lord, no, not no more. No, Lord, no. Yes, Lord, I understand you want me to do that, but nobody has come in and forgiven me. But you know what the Lord said? It ain't about them. It's all about you. You see, because when you got on the right kind of wardrobe, when you're putting on the wardrobe that I've given you, yes, folk will disappoint you. Yes, folk will wrong you. Yes, folk won't give you back what you sent out. Yes, folk gonna still talk about you. Yes, somebody gonna try to stab you in the back. But you ain't living for them. You are living for me. Do what I called you to do. Do it to the best of your ability. Go on and just live for me. I don't care what they say about you. You just go on and forgive them. And guess and watch and see what I'm going to do in your life. How I'm going to keep you right. How I'm going to walk with you and talk with you and lead you every day of your life. Some folk will look at you like you're crazy. How can you praise God in that place when I know that such and such have done something to you? Guess what? I ain't praising them. I'm praising God. He's the one that woke me up. He's the one that's blessing me. That's what it's all about. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the person who's wronged you.
All right.
But you releasing it. Letting it go. Because if you don't, you'll find yourself sinking rather than the Lord lifting you up. The Lord wants to elevate you. But you won't be elevated because you're holding on all the stuff that folk have done wrong to you, and you just won't let it go. Some folk are doing a bear hug to themselves, and you don't even know it because you will not. They talked about you. Let it go. They've done wrong against you. See, y'all ain't even saying it, so that means you're still struggling with it. They lied on you, but you still got a what? Try to stab you in the back, but you still got a. Try to break up your marriage, but you gotta what?
Let it go.
Try to mess with your kids, but you gotta
let it go.
Try to steal from you. I'm gonna call the cops, then I'm gonna let it go, huh? I had to lighten that mood. Y'all was getting a little too tight on me. You follow me? Let it go. Can I move on a little further now? Lord knows I didn't want to stay there as long as I did, but the Lord knows what he's doing. But I want us to see something. You see, once my wardrobe is changed, and we know how it changes our mind, and it lets us learn how to let it go, and lets us learn how to forgive, because the Lord first forgave us. And now that we understand that, what Paul comes back, he says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love wraps it all together. You know, and one of the things that we understand is that when I got on my new wardrobe and I now got a new attitude, then what I got to do is continue to cover myself with love. Because when I cover myself with love, then I know for a fact that I am able to do what I am wearing on me, which is have the compassion, the kindness, the meekness, and all the other stuff that I had mentioned in there. Amen. And I have changed my attitude, and I'm going to learn how to forgive you because the Lord first forgave me. So I'm going to learn how to let it go. And now that I've learned how to let it go, I am going to move through love, because love creates a perfect harmony. I'm not going to be at odds with myself. I'm not going to be fighting. I'm not going to be mad with myself. I'm going to learn how to love me and in turn learn how to love you. Because when I understand that love is the key to it all, it helps me to be the very best that I can be. I ain't trying to impress you. I just want to live my life for Christ, because one day I'm going to have to stand before him. I can't say I didn't love you because you didn't love me back. I'm going to have to do what I need to do, because that's what I ought to be wearing. Now check out this next piece, because it gets a little bit more interesting. And he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. See, when you got on the right attire on the outside, then the Lord will help you on the inside. So he says that he's going to give us peace in our hearts. And we don't just want the peace, but we want that peace to what? Rule in our hearts. Amen. You see, I want you to know, in this world, don't you know the enemy wants us to be at odds? The enemy doesn't want us to be at peace. He loves confusion. He loves chaos. He loves us arguing one another. But he has, and the one thing he never wants us to be able to do is sit down and just take a deep breath and just meditate for a minute. Whenever you sit down in the past, you weren't able to sit down with nothing in your hand. You had to have something in your hand that you would have a glass in the oven and you would gulp it down. Or you had one thing in your hand, a lighter in the other, and you would smoke it down. But what the Lord is letting us know, that when you got the peace of the Lord in your heart, you don't need no kind of substance in order to be at peace. Because the peace that a substance gives you, it ain't going to last but a little while. And it's going to eventually wear off. But I thank God that the peace of God never wears off. It's there with me every second of every minute of every hour of every day. So we want peace to rule in our hearts. And you know the other thing we got to have as brothers and sisters in Christ? We have to be thankful. Thankful that we're even here in church today. Amen. Thankful that the Lord thought enough of us to pull us up out the miry clay. Yes. Thankful that the Lord didn't leave us right there kicked to the curb. You know how some folk will be in church and we having a hallelujah good time, then the other folk were sitting there like this. Looking around at everybody else. And then when pastors say, turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, they look at you, don't you dare come over here. Don't die, don't even reach. And all that's going on in service, they're just sitting there. What's your wardrobe like? What's your attitude like? Have you been covered in love? Because if you have, you can't hold yourself tight like that no more. You got to open up your arms. Open up your hands. open up your heart, because God is giving you peace on the inside. God is blessing you from the inside out. And since the Lord is doing all that, whenever we come through the doors, we can't help but say, thank you, Lord. Anytime the Lord has allowed us to see a new day, we can't help but say, thank you, Lord. Anytime we're just able to move and have full activity of our limbs, we can't help but say, thank you, Lord. When we're able to just be able to lift up our hands, we got to say what? Thank you, Lord. When you realize that you couldn't do nothing if the Lord hadn't blessed you, that in itself should cause you just to say,
thank you, Lord.
All right, we're getting close. We're getting close. And as we look at this, now check out what he says in the very next verse, because all this stuff is building blocks. You see, I got on the right wardrobe: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I got the right attitude. I am going to forgive folk. I'm going to let it go. I've been covered with all that. I'm covered in love. And now that I'm covered in love, I recognize that I now can move forward in peace. Because it's going to rule in my heart and allow us to be called into that one body. And now that all this has happened, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish who? One another. In all what? Wisdom. And with what? Gratitude. In your hearts. Now we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. To who?
God.
You see how, you know, that's why we sing in church. We sing in church because we understand we wearing the right wardrobe. We got the right attitude. It's all covered in love. We are ruled by the peace of God. And I have been reading the word of God, and the word of God has been blessing me richly. And since I am blessed richly, when I know how the Lord took me from a nothing to a something, when I know how the Lord took you up out of hospital beds, took you up out of where you were, turned your life around, don't you know that's going to cause you to have to sing a little bit? Because we serve a God who's been mighty good to us. That's why we sing in church. That's why we praise God in church. Because we serve a mighty good God. Is our God a mighty good God? Has he been mighty good to you? Is he blessing you right now? Has he touched your life? Has he turned you around? Has he done what you couldn't do to yourself? Did he get you up out of that hospital bed? Is he healing your heart and mind right now? Oh, what a mighty God! I have Brother Alexander sing me, play something right now. But he done ran to the back. I know he hear me, so he'll be sliding back up here in a minute. It'll be too late, but it's all right. He gonna sing in a second. But I want us to realize, my brothers and my sisters, when you know God has chosen you, when you know how good God is, you are thankful because the Lord done took your old wardrobe. He threw it away. Gave you a brand new wardrobe. Changed your mind and your heart. Gave you love and allowed you to sing praises to him. But check this out. We're getting down to the...
Yes.
He says in verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Can we go on and wrap this up now? Y'all ready to wrap it up? Now I want you to understand something. He said through words and deeds. So in all actuality, Sister Boykins, he said that your walk ought to imitate your talk. If you're talking right, then you ought to be walking right. If you ain't walking right, then that means you ain't talking right. So I'm here to tell you today, as a child of God, knowing that you have been chosen, you know that you got your walk right, because your walk is tuned into your talk, and your talk is tuned into your walk. Why? Because I got on the right attire. I have changed my mind. I am covered in the love of Christ. My heart is ruled by peace. And I know that I am rich in the word of God. And I'm going to walk like it. I'm going to talk like it. And all that I can do, I am going to do in the name of Jesus. Because if I can't do it in Jesus' name, I don't need to be doing it. Because I know that the Lord has been mighty good to me. He's brought me a mighty long way. He's taken me even further. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Somebody ought to say, thank you. God chose you, Mike. Other folk might laugh and say, why you? Well, guess what? Why not you? God chose you, Sister Dee Dee. I know it ain't been easy, but God's been right there for you. Elaine, God chose you. No matter what it is, the Lord is still going to bless you. Angel, God chose you. And he will take you wherever he needs you to go. Cleveland, God has chosen you. When we understand how good God has been to us, how good God is to us, it ain't going to always be easy. But I know he's going to make a way out of no way. He told me he would never leave me or forsake me. Sister Fee, God chose you. When you realize that you're chosen, not because you dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's. You know, can I really get deep with you? God chose the whole world. He's calling the whole world. But some folk in the world ain't answering. But we did. And since we did, you know what our job is? You know, in my house, I shouldn't tell you this, but in my house, when the phone rings in the house, I don't answer. 9 times out of 10, it ain't for me. So God has called me to be in my house. Hey, somebody pick up that phone. That's what God has called us to be. Because once we know we are chosen, Sister Gwen, it is our job to say to other folks, hey, pick up your phone, it's ringing. Because God is calling. You see, I've been chosen. Now, somebody had to help me pick up my own phone to answer my call. Once I answered my call, then I realized that God chose me. And now that I've been chosen, I realize it is my job, Sister Freeman, to let folk know, pick up the... Oh, somebody going to work with me. Oh, I feel like preaching about 5 or 10 more minutes, but I'm going to shut it down. I ain't lying. I'm getting wound up even just thinking about that all by itself. Because I just think about how good God is, how much God loves us, cares for us, moves in our lives, touches us, heals us, delivers us, turns us around, allowed us to do all that we can do. So we want other folk to know, you better answer y'all. Amen. Yeah. God chose you.
Thank you, Lord.
To have you put on the right wardrobe.
Thank you, Lord.
With the right attitude. Cover it all up with love. Realize that I got peace that rules in my heart.
Yeah.
I take the time to read the word of God, which blesses me richly and allows me to love on other folk and be thankful. And then on top of that, I realize that my walk and my talk ought to be imitators of what Jesus walked and talked. I understand that I might not do it as well as he did, but I got to be the best that I can be and not just say, well, I ain't Jesus. I know I ain't Jesus neither, but we now need to be better than what we are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And whatever you do, don't be lying on the Lord and say, well, the Lord told me to do it. He ain't tell you to go over there and cuss somebody out. He ain't tell you to go over there and put somebody's business on the street. Don't put that on the Lord. But you know how it gets put on the Lord? Because folk look at you and you say you are a Christian. So if you say you are a Christian and what you do ain't Christ-like, folks still say that, oh, the Lord told you to do that. No, 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 don't tell me that. I'm going to stop. Oh, Lord, man, don't tell me that. I'll start. I'm trying to shut it down right now. I really am. I'm just so wound up because I want you to know the Lord is doing great things at this church. He's just getting started. He's moving us in ways y'all can't begin to understand. I want you to know the tidal wave is already on the way. It's already swelling up so big. I tell you that a tsunami ain't going to have nothing on us and what the Lord is going to do in this ministry. But all I'm saying to you right now, it's time for us to get ready, because the Lord is about to make it happen. And in order for him to make it happen, we got to realize that the Lord chose me. And since the Lord chose you, you got to go to other folk and say, your phone is ringing. You need to